It's Bluck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to talk Bears football with us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. The Bears beat the Texans yesterday 23-20. But Abdallah, the quarterback, has to be much better than what we've seen to this point in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if anybody tells you that they're happy with what they've seen from Justin Fields and the Bears so far, they're lying to you. But you also have to remember that two things can be true at the same time. Fields can be trash, and it can also still be early. There are 14 of these games left, and he's still running a new offense. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I just think that rushing to judgment now is way too early in this new offense to say, oh, hey, in week 12, week 13, we couldn't see progress. And then we couldn't say, hey, he's learning. He's figuring this out. He's running the offense better. They're going down the field more. And then by the time we get to week 15, 16, 17, you're like, okay, all right, let's add some weapons. And this guy could be a thing. It's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That's it.
Well, and let's take a step back here for a second and look at the situation. Was Justin Fields bad yesterday? Absolutely. Last week here on the show, did I call him Justin Tebow? Yeah, I did. And he didn't do anything yesterday to prove me otherwise with those statements.
Well, now you might be taking shots at Tebow doing that.
But it was also part joke, part truth, right? Like, I was trying to be funny when I said it. Mm-hmm. But I will say, through 3 weeks, what we've seen is basically a quarterback regress in his second year. And if you consider just only looking at Justin Fields' stat line and considering that to be linked to the development, things have not gone well to this point. But what is up with the offense overall? Right, Luke Getsy in this offense, it's been more predictable and more bland than anything we saw from Matt Nagy. So If you want to blame the quarterback for everything, yeah, has he missed open wide receivers? Sure. But Luke Getsy's also running the football on first down almost every single time the Bears get the football. And in the red zone, did you hear the stat yesterday on the broadcast? The Bears run the ball in the red zone 90% of the time, Most in the NFL. Do you know what the league average is? 41% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
This offense is bland. It's milquetoast. It is not good. And we can blame Fields all we want. But with the Bears running on first down in the second half against the Texans almost every single time on first and second down, you know, blame Fields for being terrible, but the game plan looks awful and the weapons look bad around him as well. So at some point, the offense overall needs to improve as well as the quarterback. Quarterback's been bad.
Yeah.
But let's call it what it is. Matt Nagy was this phony guru when it comes to the offense. Getsy was supposed to come in with some credentials. His offense hasn't looked any better.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to.
It hasn't looked any better.
No. I'm not saying that it does. I'm saying I have issue with you saying that the game plan didn't work because they won the game. And when your game and when your job is, Matt Eberflus says, to win games, and then that's the game plan. If you're averaging like Khalil Herbert was 8 yards a carry, guess what? You run the damn football. Now, the difference is you played the Texans yesterday and you were able to win. Running the football against the Packers when you're down 2 touchdowns wasn't working. But in this situation, it was working. So I understand it. Hey, this kid is screwing up and he's going to lose us this game. So we're taking the ball out of his hands and we're running the football over and over and over again. And that's exactly what they did. And they won the football game. Their job is to win games. Matt Eberflus said it today. They're trying to win football games.
Right.
They'll develop Fields if it happens. But in game situations, they're going to find something and exploit it in the defense. And they found that the Texans couldn't stop the run to save their lives. So guess what? We're going to run the ball 300 times. And that's what they did. And they ended up winning the football game.
They're running the ball well. They're just not pass blocking for the quarterback. And the quarterback's not making smart decisions. And also the weapons at points here in the first three games, Komet, Mooney, dropped passes, not running the correct routes. There's a lot of mess when it comes to this offense. Hopefully a lot of room to improve, though, because the defense was pretty decent yesterday. And this team is 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good start to your season for a team that's supposed to have zero talent compared to other teams around the National Football League. Your call is at 312-332-3776. Jamie in Grays Lake, what do you think about the Bears?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my
call.
We're
good, man. What's up?
Hey, you just covered a whole lot of territory, so if I can real quick, I just want a quick thought on Eberflus, on Getsy, and then on Field.
Yeah, go for it.
With Eberflus, thrilled that he wants to win games, because I just believe the only way you build a winning culture is to win games. So, all in on that. Getsy's offense, yep, it's pretty one-dimensional, but Nagy's offense was non-dimensional. I don't know how many third and ones under Nagy we couldn't convert because we couldn't run the friggin' ball. And I'm thrilled that we had 280 rush yards last week. That was freaking awesome. I don't care what anybody says. And with Fields, I agree with all the criticism, the taking too long to throw, not seeing open receivers, all that kind of stuff. But there's also some good things. Everybody was complaining that he hadn't thrown to Mooney. He hit Mooney on a nice pass this week. Everybody was complaining mm-hmm. that Kmet wasn't involved. Kmet had a couple of nice grabs this week. Like, this is what development looks like. It's up and down. And so I love that Waddle preaches patience. Let's be patient and give the guy a chance.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Jamie, and we appreciate the phone call. If you want to join us and talk Bears football, you can talk to us at 312-332-3776. We go to Bob in LaGrange talking Bears. What do you think, Bob?
Bob.
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 Robert.
Bob.
Bob.
Bob's on
Robert.
Hold. Michael on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
My thing is this. You know, this is the NFL. Not for long. That's why these coaches, they trying to win. They trying to win before they do anything, you know. There's only 14 games left in the season, mm-hmm. and they only get you got to get the W. Ain't no style points for losses. You win it ugly, you win ugly. You got to get that W. Now, if it wasn't for Tom Brady brain fart, Green Bay would probably be 1-2 in this division right now.
No, that's a good point. And, you know,
thanks for the call, Michael.
You did lose and you got your asses handed to you essentially by the Packers. And you've looked, the one game was a monsoon and there wasn't very much scoring. And then yesterday was a close game and you're lucky to face one of the worst teams in the NFL in the Texans, which we both thought they'd be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But it's not sustainable. Like, yeah, you won the football game, but Justin Fields has looked awful through three games, and he has to improve. And I hope that this organization has a plan that if he's not the right guy, like if they get to the end of the season and this is still what you're seeing, then you have to do something.
Yeah, plan for the future.
Yeah.
I don't think Ryan Poles or Matt Eberflus has told you anything differently.
No,
I think they've supported the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have. They think that they have a quarterback that has room to develop, but I don't think that they're tying their careers to sticking by the side of Justin Fields.
No, and Justin Fields is the most important player on the field, but he's not the only player, and there were a lot of bright spots yesterday from some of the younger guys on this team that also need to be developed.
Tom in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man.
Hey, I want to know your opinion on the scouting report on Fields coming out of college with regard to his throwing motion and release, because it seems like he's being asked to, or he's holding the ball too long and not making quick decisions. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's certainly the case now. The knock on Fields in college was not accuracy down the field, though. He was one of the most accurate quarterbacks coming into the NFL draft. I don't have specific numbers on how long he held the ball at Ohio State before he released it, but his last season as a junior at Ohio State, he completed 70% of his passes, and he was throwing dimes all over the field. I know people are going to come back and say, yeah, they had elite weapons, their team, their offensive line, better than most in the Big Ten. But that's kind of the way it goes in big-time, high-level college football. You know, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State are some of the best teams in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
For most games, they're going to have more talent on the field. I don't think that discredits what we see from Joe Burrow. I don't think that discredits what we've seen to this point from Tua or Jalen Hurts. I think those quarterbacks have developed and they can take it to the next level. So it's up to Justin Fields to kind of showcase that on the next level. Throwing motion and the way his style, they did talk in training camp with Luke Getsy about trying to change his footing. So mm-hmm. maybe there is something with the timing, because Eberflus talked about that earlier today, the timing with the wide receivers. Maybe he's not comfortable yet in the changes that they've made with which foot is in front when he's standing in shotgun with the timing and the routes. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe that changes throughout the season.
Well, and I also still point to Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa and like how much they've developed in a couple years in the NFL, right? And I think that while they were never as bad as we've seen in the first 3 weeks from Justin Fields, you've seen the talent from Justin Fields before, so you know he can do it. He just has, it just has to click for him. And you still have 14 weeks. I know it's not a lot of games, but you still have 14 games to get this figured out by the end of the season, because no one thinks they're making the playoffs. This isn't like, oh my God, what are they going to do when they make the playoffs? They're not going to be good enough to make the playoffs. So this isn't an issue for that. This is an issue of finding out if this is the guy, and if he's not, you have to find another option.
I would say this too, with Jalen Hurts, the stats may not have been this bad for Hurts, but the conversation around Hurts as a quarterback was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Most people were saying that he was a backup quarterback, he couldn't play the position, and at no point would he ever be a sustainable starter for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And he's totally changed that. Well, that conversation has completely changed.
And
Eagles fans support. Come on, you know it. We one of our good friends yes. is a diehard Eagles fan.
Shout out Alan.
And he couldn't stand Jalen Hurts in the last couple of seasons.
Hated him
as their quarterback. So I think things do take time, and we've discussed it here on the show. Not every young quarterback has the spark like Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, who immediately become top 10 quarterbacks from the time that they kind of start playing in this league. Sometimes it takes time, and we're seeing that with Tua this year and with Jalen Hurts this year.
It takes time for the most elite quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes said a couple years ago that he's still learning how to read defenses and still hasn't figured it out all the way. So, like, it takes some of these guys a lot of time. I'm not comparing Fields to Patrick Mahomes, but just seeing what other quarterbacks say about reading defenses and how long it takes to figure this stuff out. I still have faith that he will get better this season. It's not going to be this bad all year. And if it is, then fine. Maybe maybe he's just not the guy and you move on. But you still have time. You can't just throw this guy out because of three bad games.
312-332-3776. We're talking Bears here on Black and Abdallah.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, sure. Mike on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000 talking Bears with Black and Abdallah. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to comment real quick, man. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody in Chicago that's a Bears fan thought the same thing of this year. It's pretty much a throwaway season. Like, we're rebuilding. Who cares if you win 4 games or 6 games this year? Focus on developing the quarterback for the future. Nobody care about these few wins.
Yeah, and that's a fair way to look at it. Unfortunately, I don't think that that's how the team views it. I think the team views it as they can kind of try and do both at the same time.
Well, but also they're paid to win games.
No, that's true. But like, in year one of a complete rebuild with new front office, and the new front office picks the coach.
I understand that.
Like, you have a little more leeway.
I understand that. But they're not sitting up in the booth, and Matt Eberflus isn't on the headset saying, "Hey, Luke, we need to throw the ball more because I need to see if he's the guy or not." No, they're going to say, "Well, running's working. Keep running the football." You're not going to take that out of football players, like that mentality. Like, you think Roquan Smith is tanking? You should have just dropped the interception then. Like, you're not going to take that out of football players.
That's fair.
They're not going to tank. That's not how it works.
Ed in Villa Park, you're on ESPN 1000 talking Bears. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, hi guys. Just I'd like to get your comments on a bit of a different perspective on Fields. I mean, it could be that he just doesn't have, and I don't mean to sound a little bit like the Cutler era. Could it just be that he doesn't have the tools around him? I mean, great or good quarterbacks make receivers look good. Good receivers make quarterbacks look good. Is it just a matter? I mean, just because we got Mooney and just because he was number one last year doesn't make him a great receiver. I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments.
Yeah, fair point, Ed. And I think that's something that we push back on throughout the offseason. We continue to see little blog pieces and articles written about how great Darnell Mooney is going to be as a number one wide receiver now that Allen Robinson's gone. I haven't seen a number one wide receiver.
No.
Did you see one last year with Mooney?
Cole Kmet hasn't come through. I mean, he had two catches yesterday.
At best, I think Mooney is a solid second receiver for a team. Ideally, he's your slot guy who is also your flyer down down to stretch the field.
He's your Equanimeous St. Brown, and Equanimeous St. Brown is your fourth guy, and so
yeah,
on and
right.
so forth.
Like you're missing two top line wide receivers.
Yeah.
When you compare this offense to others around the league, like the Bengals or others like the Rams, yeah. like and that's where you see something like that.
I also think we're starting to find out that Allen Robinson's not a number one either.
Well, of course he's not. We sniffed that out.
Like, but Robinson's not a one either.
No, Robinson isn't. My point being is, to Ed's point, the players around Justin Fields aren't lighting the world on fire either. I mean, Cole Kmet, he had that one reception, looked awkward AF after the catch, no? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that a guy who, like, didn't really know what to kind of do?
Your tight end is supposed to be the dude that you can rely on, like, in the end zone, too. Like, if they're in, if they have a legit tight end.
You see that catch yesterday from Juszczyk on the sideline? Could you ever imagine Kmet doing that? Did you see the catch?
Yes.
He's a fullback.
Yeah.
And he got both tippy toes down the extension over the sideline, a beautiful catch for the 49ers.
Yeah.
We don't have someone on our team that could do that.
No, we do not. So, yeah, I think to answer the question is the offensive line, too, has been horrible in pass blocking. And if you look at the numbers, they're out there. Fields doesn't have any time when it comes to throwing the football. But when they can, for some reason, they can run the ball really well. I mean, if you look at it right now, on next-gen stats, Fields has been sacked on 18.2% of pass dropbacks through his first three games. That's 10 times on 55 dropbacks. That's by far the most in the NFL. Now, is that partly because he's holding on to the ball and that? Yeah, it is. But they're also like, watch the games. They're not giving him any time. He needs to be better at throwing the football away. Also, he's getting hit way too much. Way too much.
Chase on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. Hello, Chase.
Chase.
What? Yo, what's happening, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's the word? Not much, man. Is it safe to say that 2022 has been a bad year for Chicago sports?
Yeah, probably. We don't really have a whole lot of winners.
Yeah, I mean, it's like bad. It's like every time we wake up, it's bad news. First we got Lonzo Ball, then we got this. It's like, the White Sox. It's like, but anyways, you got to be patient. I mean, I understand, yes, he does need to play better. He hasn't looked good at all. He's looked really, really bad, like historically bad. But to just come out of nowhere, just to come and say, oh, he's a bust and get him out of here, I think that's very harsh and it's wrong, and I don't agree with that. I think you got to give it time. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. But I do agree that we got to open this offense up. I can't recall one time when we went deep or through a hitch and go. I mean, I don't understand why we play this 1980s game. I mean, we play scared to death football, and I don't understand why it's third and ten and we run a draw play.
Yeah,
I just don't understand that. Like, I don't get that. The halftime before the half, you got three timeouts and you don't even be aggressive. You got to be kidding me. Like, you can't make this up. Like, I mean, that's the only thing. Like, they got to open this offense up. They got to open it up. You can't play this 1980s, 1990s. I mean, this is 2022, and they playing football like it's 1982 or 1992. Like, they got to open this offense up. They got to.
They're calling the plays like they're scared that the quarterback's going to mess things up, even though I think the upside overall would be better if you allowed him to go down the football field, you called more pass plays. But then when I say that, as Chase just pointed out there, and you've pointed out here in the last 10 minutes, the offensive line doesn't give him the time to set. And then you're like, okay, well, that's one side. Like, you can keep going back and forth, because then there are stats suggesting Fields holds onto the ball longer than any other quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so does he have a lot of time? Does he not have a lot of time?
No, he doesn't. He's holding onto the ball too long.
Is there a pocket for him? Eberflus said today that the offensive line needs to do a better job protecting and creating a pocket for the quarterback.
They also look at what's working in the game. You know, they run their first 15 plays, whatever they have script, and they're like, well, we can run the ball and win the time of possession and win this football game by constantly running the football and having a stout defense. And that's exactly what they did. Like, you have to also understand that we're talking about a team that's 2-1 through the first 3 weeks, that everybody had losing their first two games. And they're able to find a way to win, and the coaching staff is going to go with what's winning football games.
LeBron in Schaumburg, you're on ESPN 1000, talking Bears.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Awesome show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So here's my question. Are we all watching this with our bear goggles on? Because I haven't seen one game where Justin Fields has come out and thrown for 250, two, three tubs, and maybe a pick, and look like an NFL quarterback. What game was this?
The Steelers game last year on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
He threw for 291.
Is that the only game he threw over 220 yards in his career?
No, against the Packers or the Vikings at the end of the season he did last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple of games last year.
We got two games he's looked like an NFL quarterback.
285 against the Vikings last year, 224 against the Packers last year, 291 against the Steelers last year, 209 against Detroit last year.
So he's got four games over 200.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
Yeah, it's looking bad, man. I mean, I love Justin Fields. I love his work ethic. I love how he approaches the game. He takes responsibility. I love all of his intangibles. But he hasn't shown me that he can be an above-average quarterback in the NFL yet. He has not shown that. Like, four games in two seasons, it's getting bad. I think we need an option. I think we need to be planning a plan B option for after this season, even if it's just to get a little bit of competition going in the quarterback room.
Yeah, and that's something they're going to have to look at, LaRon, and that's why, and thanks for the phone call. I'd say as I'm scanning the game logs for Justin Fields from last year and this year, he's been sacked in his career 46 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. He is getting hit left and right. And you're right. Like, at a certain point, if he's not able to progress at all, hit any open wide receivers, get yardage, score points, this ain't going to be it. They're going to have to move on from it. And obviously, that's why we have time. That's why we have this season to figure that out.
And what LaRon said, too, like, isn't completely accurate, where he said he's got, you know, four 200-yard games in two seasons. Well, he only really played in 11 games last season. He was in that the Rams game. He only had two attempts in that game because he came in late in that game, right? And so he had 11 games last season and three so far this season. He hasn't even played a full season of football. He hasn't played 17 games yet in his entire career. Like, let's just slow the... It's bad. Yes, I'm not saying it's not bad. But there is still time for him to develop and turn into something by the end of the season.
Drake in Geneva, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call, guys. I just stated put a metric out there based off of the time that the O-line isn't providing him. For my eye test, I disagree. I think that he has more than enough, way more than enough time to throw the ball. He's just holding on to it entirely too long. And honestly, at this point, like, it's all self-inflicted. I pray that he's the savior that we've been looking for. Equanimee and St. Brown should probably have like six touchdowns at this point based off of how open that he's been getting. So it's not the receivers. I understand everybody looking for that big name receiver. And obviously with the cap room that they're going to have next year, they're going to be able to do it. He's been the O-line is playing, honestly, to me, amazing based off of what the national media and everybody else is saying. Yeah, they ain't got the big name people, but they've been basically doing their job and giving him the time that he needs. He just needs to get the ball out of his damn hand at the end of the day.
Yeah, and the thing that
he's holding the ball way too long.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, Drake. And the thing I see from the offensive line is when they're pushing forward, they're making great progress mm-hmm. and they're creating holes for running backs. But when they have to set and start moving backwards, guys are tumbling backwards.
Yeah.
And there's almost zero resistance on some plays and in some situations where Fields does have a lot of time on many of these plays, but then in a big third down spot where you know he has to throw, he's under fire almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, think back to yesterday. How many different times, third and short, third and long, okay, there's a passing down. He snaps the ball, goes to take a step, and he's got a Texan right in his face. Mm-hmm. He can't do anything. And that's partly because of the offensive line and their inability to pass block.
Yeah, and he's got to do a better job of scanning the field, too. Like, he's not seeing everything, but also he's worried about, you know, he might be skittish because of how bad the offensive line has been, where he's like, okay, how much time do I have? I got to look around the field. I got to go, oh, nope, Texan, got to run. Okay, got to go. Like, that's how fast that happens. in the pocket like that when it collapses. Like, he's not sitting there back there with like 10 seconds. He's got like 4 or 5 seconds tops. And then he's tucking and running, and that's going to lead to him getting injured at some point because you can't keep taking all these hits.
These calls are really good. We will continue taking these Bears calls at 312-332-3776. It's Black and Abdallah. Matt Eberflus spoke to the media earlier today. We'll take a listen to Eberflus coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Sorry, that was for Waddle. He really wanted me to talk some football in a Dave Matthews voice. I don't know why.
Keep going.
Justin Fields can't see the field, and he is taking sacks. Thought Montgomery might be hurt, but Khalil Herbert's good. That's all I'm doing.
You know, it actually sounds better than Dave Matthews, man.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Matt in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. You guys, I wanted to ask you, is the Pringle injury that serious now? Because I don't know what happened. I don't remember him going out, but then I heard him, he was in a walking boot. And now with Pringle going out and being a walking boot, I'm guessing he's going to be out for a couple of weeks now. And Montgomery, day-to-day, but that's what they said with Velus Jones. And Velus Jones is still not practicing, and I don't know when he's ever going to be able to practice. So my question is to you guys, is there something that they can do, especially Ryan Poles, to help Justin Fields out? Because all of his offensive weapons, the only one that he really can rely on is Equanimeous St. Brown. Mm-hmm. And if teams take him away, that's it. You know, he doesn't have any chemistry with Mooney, regardless of what, you know, they go practice together after practice and, you know, try to develop that. But it just seems like chemistry is not there. And, you know, how many they're forcing it. It just seems like there's no weapons for him on offense right now. Now with Pringle gone and Montgomery gone, that he has nothing to go to. And Velus Jones is still not practicing. So is there anything that Ryan Poles can do, like make a trade or do anything to help this kid out? Because I just feel like his confidence is gone, and he has really no weapons that he could trust besides Equanimeous St. Brown.
Thanks for the call, Matt. I think to answer your question, you have to wait till the off season.
Well, I mean, what they could do
sadly,
is he could,
I think that's the answer.
He could get a flux capacitor, go back in time and trade for DK Metcalf. That would have been cool. Wouldn't it have been?
Well, they could just draft a wide receiver this upcoming year.
Yeah, but doesn't do anything
first
for
round draft.
Doesn't do anything for right now. Doesn't help him right now.
No, I understand that, and I
Matt
understand
asked about right now.
I understand the point that you made back in the summer when you were hoping and wishing and praying that the Bears would trade for DK Metcalf, but that just didn't happen. So sometimes you have to move on with life.
I am,
and you got to spend your cap space next year.
They will
on a wide receiver.
Not a lot out there though, wide receiver market.
And you draft one,
that.
So that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah. Just saying.
Black, on the southwest side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Black?
Yeah. Hi. First time caller, long time listener.
What's up, man?
So I just want to say, I guess what I don't have a problem understanding is Philadelphia has given us the blueprint. They wanted to run Jalen Hurts out of Philly 2 years ago.
Yep.
But they went and got A.J. Brown. They drafted well in the offensive line. So they've given the Bears the blueprint. Justin has none of the talent that Jalen now has. And he's turned it totally around with the talent around him.
See, but the thing is, Black,
right.
you saw flashes from Jalen Hurts last year, and you saw moments where you're like, okay, he
yeah,
could. But then
think about how that Eagles team got to the playoffs last year.
No.
They got to the playoffs by riding a great defense,
absolutely
good special teams, and a quarterback that they were limiting the amount of passes he could go downfield, hoping for no mistakes.
Yeah,
that's how they got into the playoffs last year.
But if Fields can look like Hurts did last year, then you do exactly what you did. You
sure.
go and you trade for A.J. Brown. You go sign a bunch of players. Like, that's
you'll
what
see
you
development.
Do. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, like, all hope's not lost at this moment, and it's certainly not from us, because I think there is still room to develop.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, to this point through 3 weeks, Fields has looked terrible. Flip in Miami, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Flip, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I like to say, you know, I think Eberflus is playing to his strengths. I'm not concerned about the talent 100% yet, because I think he's still evaluating. The run game is keeping us competitive. You know, it's not like if he's like, it's my way, win or lose. You know, if we had no run game, these games would be terrible. He looks for a way to win. You know, I mean, it might not be looking like we want right now, but, I mean, it's good to see that from a coach, you know. I mean, I would like to see some more out of Justin, but little by little, I think, you know.
Yeah, and I do like what I've seen from Eberflus to this point, although at the end of the first half, that's a little questionable. You're taking three timeouts in your pocket to go to halftime.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Come on, what are we doing there? Black and Abdallah, we go coast to coast, right? Ooh. We go from Miami on the ESPN Chicago app to Seattle. Randy in Seattle on the ESPN
Randy.
Chicago app. What's up, Randy?
Hello, boys.
What's going on?
I totally agree with you guys and most of the other voices on the network. Got to give Justin time with this new offense, with new personnel, with everything else. The wins really don't matter. It's about finding out which guys can play on this team. But I got to tell you, man, as Tommy says, I'm a little itchy and scratchy about what I'm both seeing from Justin and what I'm not seeing from him when he's been on the field. And I'm taking it all into account. Yeah, it's week three. I promised myself I'd give him the first half of the season and expect improvement when we hit, you know, the second half. I think they're going to be a better team. But I'm not so sure that I'm seeing what I expected to see at this point, even though it's game three.
That's a fair point. Thanks for the call, Randy. We appreciate it. We go from the East Coast to the West Coast. Back to the East Coast. How about this? Chief in Jersey listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Chief?
And hey, what's happening, bro?
What's up, man?
Look, man. Hey, I don't know. What's going on with the water supply in Chicago and throughout the country? Because I don't know why everybody's not ecstatic, which is what you should be. Because I just this one stat. Look up the record between first-year head coaches and quarterback combos, and we can just add in general managers. They are all learning how to do it on the fly, including Justin Fields once again for year two. We have offensive linemen who haven't run block for 4 years. We just seen a fullback, you talking about getting in the DeLorean. Somebody got in the DeLorean and dropped us off a fullback. Hey, that's what you use at the goal line. It's like almost like a, you know, like playing modern warfare and calling in air cavalry. Anyway, let the rest of the guys have some fun. Hey, man, I'm ecstatic. Justin, keep doing your thing. And Bears, we just got to wait them 3-4 more years. So let's just have fun. Peace.
Thanks for the call, Chief. Call again. Black Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Matt Eberflus earlier today at Halas Hall talked about what Justin Fields in the offense needs to work on this week before the Giants game.
Yeah, I would just say keep on working on his footwork. You know, the footwork and then the timing. You know, the timing of it, when to get the ball out of his hands. And, you know, a lot of that is, you know, the pocket too at times. You know, we were looking at the film. So we got to make sure we have a clean pocket for him to ride the pocket up and then deliver the ball. And, again, it's never one guy. You know, it's also more about the protection. You know, make sure we shore that up the best we can. And then also the timing of the routes and making sure we're timing that up. So we're getting better every week. You know, we had some good explosive passes in this game, which we are excited about. We're going to build off of those and keep going forward.
There you go. There's Matt Eberflus. Some good explosive passes in this game. I counted two in the fourth quarter. Two.
I mean,
right? To Kmet and to Mooney. Right,
yeah.
Side, up the middle.
I mean, Kmet had a 24-yard
There you go.
One.
Explosive. Good.
Mooney had an 18-yard play.
There you go, 18.
Equanimeous St. Brown had a 20-yard play.
All right, there we go. Good.
Byron Pringle had an 11-yard play.
Splashy.
Yeah.
Good.
Sure.
We're moving it forward.
Okay.
See? Eberflus, he's excited.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with that. Jimmy, on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. Right, Jimmy?
Eberflus is
positive.
Yeah, Adam is not excited, though. Adam is not
no.
excited.
No, he's not.
No.
Crazy. Hey, so one thing that was killing me during that game, who was in the booth? Was that Kenny Lofton? Was that the ex-Packers receiver that was in the booth?
It was Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, it was, he was a great artist.
He was excellent. All right.
Oh, man. Yeah. So one of the things that was killing me... you know, they were trying to build up his credibility. So, of course, we got all these Bears fans watching the game. They don't understand that you got to know your audience. They start showing all the film of him torching Bears DBs. So that was fantastic. But what really killed me is, you know, if he's really good, which I think he probably would be, why didn't they show us on all these plays where either Fields is getting sacked or he's running for his life? Why didn't they show us a breakdown at any point of what the receivers were doing at that point? Because I don't, the video didn't show us on the game video, didn't show us what those receivers were doing. Were they open? Fields can't find them? Or were they covered like blankets and Fields has to run for his life because no one can get open? They did point out that we don't have a number one receiver. I was 100% with them on that call. But that was one of the things that killed me. And the other thing that really bothered me is, you know, we're going to go into week four now, and we still have this hits idea that mm-hmm. we're going to be trying to strip the ball all the time. They need to just stop. They need to focus on making tackles. The first guy needs to make a tackle. The second guy in, go for the ball. Because right now, the way they're doing it, too many times the first guy is going for the ball. All the receivers know that. You saw everybody that had the ball for the Texans just covering it up with both arms immediately and just turning those legs because we're messing around trying to get the ball, and they're gaining 3, 4, 5 more yards. It's like a penalty on every play. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've noticed, and Eberflus, Jimmy talked about it last week, the stripping of the ball is not a part of that, the principle that he's trying to coach. He talked about it last week at Hallis Hall. He wants them to take out the legs. And why? His yeah. rationale, why does he want them to take out the legs? Because it's tough to move when someone takes out your legs.
It is.
So this whole running alongside a receiver or a running back and trying to swat at the ball and strip it out, that's not what Eberflus wants. He talked about it at length last week in one of the media availabilities, and that's not what Eberflus wants.
I think that when a player hears forcing turnovers, that's their immediate response is, oh, I got to punch the ball instead of trying to tackle, right? I can still tackle him if I punch the ball. Well, he's running for 5 yards with you on his back, and they're getting a first down because you can't tackle a guy. Forcing turnovers is what you saw Eddie Jackson do yesterday, is what you saw Roquan Smith do, is getting into the right line of sight, is tipping balls and forcing turnovers that way. That's how you force turnovers in a game and still be able to tackle everybody so you're not having all of these missed tackles.
Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, they're 2-1, but their 2-1 feels totally different than the Bears' 2-1. We're going to continue talking about the Bears and the second-year quarterbacks, and also we have a song of the night coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah
on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You like to do told you so's, right?
No.
Yeah, that's a part of the brand.
I just like pointing out things that I said earlier that may have been in contradiction with things that other people have said.
Well, here's Eddie on the north side. Hello, Eddie.
Oh, hi, Eddie.
Hey, boys. How you guys doing? So here it is for Justin.
Yeah.
He's got to rip off about 6-7 hours of Call of Duty and they have a positive ratio because he's making decisions really quick. And if you can do that, that'll make him a better football player.
Eddie, do you play Call of Duty?
Absolutely. I've been since the day one it came out.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
my stress reliever. What can I say?
Wow.
You don't have to have kids and doing work and doing that. I come home, and that's my enjoyment.
You got to have something, man.
Eddie, if we set up a game where you played with Tyler Aki, a little COD, would you?
What's your gamer tag? Give it out so people can play.
Yeah, would you play with people?
I will do it. And then a lot of times I'll tune down the volume. Mm-hmm. I don't do the headset. I'll play some Metallica.
Yeah.
And jam out on the game.
A little creeping death for you. A little Ride the Lightning.
I love it. Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
And Justice for All.
Yeah.
Three albums in a row where every single song on the album is awesome.
Yes.
And you cannot say that about any group. that I can think of.
Right? Any group ever. I agree.
Ever.
Hands down. I agree.
Led Zeppelin.
Are you going to give us your gamer tag?
I'll shoot it to you guys on a text. You know what I want to do?
You got my number.
Secret.
Are you guys going to send me this thing? I have my skeleton out in front of my house right now. I ripped up a Metallica shirt. I found an old guitar somewhere when I did a job. I ripped this guitar around his shoulders, and it looks awesome in front.
Can you send us a picture of that, Eddie?
I will. Call your thing, send me a tag, and I'll send it to you guys.
You don't have our phone numbers, so you can't text it. Just tweet it to us.
I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on
Call of Duty,
social media. I'm not on any social media, I'll be honest.
But you play Call of Duty.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely, I do.
All right, I love it.
All right, cool.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Eddie.
You guys have a great night, man. I love you guys.
All right, thanks, Eddie. I thought he was going to do a told you so, that field stinks and Ohio State quarterbacks can't get it done.
Carmen Yurko.
That was a good call from Eddie. I like that. No, I know, but that was a nice call from Eddie. I appreciate that. It's time for the song of the night.
I want to rock! Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdul. Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Tonight's song, Newfound Glory. Hit or Miss. From 1999. It's your song of the night.
To Newfound Glory's Hit or Miss.
This is an Abdallah pick.
It is an Abdallah pick. The album, Newfound Glory by Newfound Glory, their major label debut, came out today in the year 2000.
All right. I mean, listen, it's...
This is right up Abdallah's high school alley, I'll tell you that right now. And funny story about this band and Libertyville and local high schools here around the area.
Wow.
So Q101 did a radio station contest when we were seniors. Okay. And it was trying to get Newfound Glory.
So what was that, 03?
Yes, to play at your high school.
Cool.
And you had to fill out a note card, 3x5 note card, just regular note card, and write, I would like I want Newfound Glory to play at my high school. And you sent it. And the high school that sent in the most note cards, and we had to have an announcement at our high school saying that you couldn't write them during class because people were sitting in the back of class just writing these. New Trier ended up winning. I believe we came in third or fourth. But New Trier won just based on sheer volume. They have like a billion kids at that high school.
That happened when I was there?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, you were busy running and putting sun in your hair, so...
Lifting weights.
Lifting weights my ass.
I was lifting weights.
You were this big around. I've seen pictures of you in high school.
I was strong for a runner.
Yeah, for a runner. That's like saying, never mind.
What do you want me to do?
I don't want to get suspended.
No, I had some street cred with the football players. There were only a couple of us runners that actually worked out in there, and the football players allowed us to hang out in the weight room. So,
yeah.
A little street cred.
Yeah, well, like I said, running and sunning.
I honestly do not recall. So people were in class filling out little cards to get.
I remember specifically
to play at
during my English class with Mr. Saxvik.
Okay. Don't know who that is.
You don't remember Mr. Saxvik?
I don't think. Did we go to the same high school?
Yeah, we went to the same high school. Apparently, you didn't take English classes. You were in remedial English, probably. we had an administrator came in and like yelled at people for writing these note cards in class.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Sound like a good time.
Yeah.
I really missed out. Yeah. Here's Newfound Glory, Hit or Miss, your song of the night.
I also got into a violent car accident during this song. Bury the lead that way. Almost died. What are you shaking your head for? Almost died.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lynn.
We have a song of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And you fill the song with a stupid story about people in our school.
I tied it to high schools, local high schools.
Filling out little cards.
Local high schools.
To try and get Newfound Glory to play. And you could have told us a story about you almost dying and flipping over in a car.
Yep.
But you chose the little note card story.
I figured more people would identify with that.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone identified with that.
People that went to New Trier in the year 2003 did.
I don't think any of those people are listening to this show.
I don't think anybody.
None of them recall that. So. Oh, yeah, people are listening. They want to hear Bears conversation, not Giants and Cowboys football.
Well, we'll do that next.
So people are definitely listening. But you could have told us about almost dying and flipping over a car.
Yeah, car flipped.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.